Sir, would you turn your Bibles again to Exodus chapter 20? Exodus, the 20th chapter. We're talking about God's perfect 10. This morning, I'm going to preach on the subject matter, liar, liar, your pants will be on fire. I figured you'd like that. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Let's stand those for reverence, the reading of God's holy, inspired, infallible, and errant word. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Let's pray. Father, for your word, we're thankful. Thank you, word's truth, without any mixture of error. Bless the reading and the hearing and the preaching of the word now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Right about this fella, he got stopped for speeding 88 in a 45. The police officer came up to this car and said, "May I have your license and registration, please?" He said, "License? Well, sir, I have to be honest with you, my license was suspended." He said, "Well, let me see the registration." He said, "Well, I can get out of the glove box, but there's a pistol in there. And my name's not on it. I actually stole this car, and I stuffed the woman who owned the car in the trunk. I killed her." Well, he got a little concerned there as a police officer, you know, so he backed up and asked the gentleman to step out of the car and called some backup and kept his gun on him. Supervisor got there and said, "Sir, I understand you don't have a license." He said, "Yes, I do. It's right here." And he handed it to him. He said, "I understand there's a gun in the glove box that you killed a woman with, and there's the registration on yours." He said, "I don't know what you're talking about. He said, you look in there and got the registration out. It was his. Sure enough, everything was just in order." He said, "I want to open the trunk to make sure there's not a body in there because I don't want you to have killed someone." And so he opened the trunk. And sure enough, there was no body in the trunk. He said, "You told him, the officer told me that you didn't have a license, didn't have a registration, there was a gun in the glove box, and you killed someone." He said, "I bet you that line sucker told you I was speeding too, didn't he?" In the Lake District of England, there's a little village called Santon Bridge. It's famous for the world's biggest liar contest. It's held each November there. It's really fascinating to read about this. The first prize includes cash, the biggest liar certificate, a silk tie with the words, "The biggest liar in the world," printed on it, and the majestic Jennings Trophy. Will Ritson, a popular publican who ran the Wesdale Inn, started the contest in the 1800s. He always kept customers enthralled by telling stories about the folk stories in the area. One story was he told the locals that the local turnips grew so big they were used for sheep sheds. Another was that he mated a foxhound with an eagle, and the pups had eagle's wings and were able to leap over the Lake District stone walls more easily. And some folks believe that stuff. I met a few folks in my time over the years I think could win that contest of being the world's biggest liar, hadn't y'all? Now, I want you to listen to some statistics that were. I don't want to bore you with this stuff, but it was fascinating when you begin to study and read about this stuff. This is more serious. One study I read by Dr. Bella DePaolo found that most people lie once or twice a day over the course of a week and deceive about 30 of the people they interact with on a personal level. The same study found that college students lie to their mothers in one of every two conversations. Mom, that ought to bless your heart, doesn't it? And that dating couples lie to each other in about a third of their conversations. Wow. Dr. Charles Ford, author of Lies, Lies, said that the average Joe lies 7 times an hour if you count all the times they lie to themselves. According to Gerald Jellison of the University of Southern California, human beings are lied to about 200 times a day, roughly one truth every 5 minutes. According to another study conducted by the University of Massachusetts psychologist Robert S. Feldman, it was found that 60% of people lied at least once during a 10-minute conversation and told an average of 2 to 3 lies during that 10-minute conversation. Wow. Well, when you come to the 9th commandment, God begins to deal with that issue too. And he says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, that word bear there literally means to speak or to testify. The word false simply means an untruth. And the word witness means to give a testimony. You aren't to give a false, untrue testimony about someone. Now, some of y'all have accused me of telling lies over the years about various things. I don't know what you're talking about. One person, which we're named unnameless, says that it gets really bad when I tell several lies in a row. Isn't that right? Oh, the word neighbor there, that literally means an associate. But it was not limited to the person that lived beside you. It could be anyone who lives beside you down the street. Or the word embraces those friends and family and just all of our acquaintance in our lives as we go along the way. The bottom line is you aren't supposed to tell lies to anyone. And I'm not sure how you deal with that sometimes, though, fellas, when your wife says, do I look good in this? Now, fellas, me and Justin figured this out. You got two choices when you're married. If you hadn't figured this out, Mike Lowe told me this several years ago. You got two choices. You either be right or happy. You can't be both, fellas. Now, you can try that if you want to, but you're not going to be both. Now, we carried Matt with us to Boone a few months ago to the David's graduation from Hebron County. And Matt had an interesting philosophy about women. He's 22 today, and he's still single, and you don't know why. He said when he gets married, he's going to run the roost, and he's going to tell his wife what she's going to do, da-da-da-da-da. And we just laughed, me and Justin did, and said, well, let me know how that works out for you, son. Oh. But notice, listen to me. Let's look at the text for a few minutes. The origin of bearing false witness. The origin of bearing false witness. I want you to pay attention. Just listen to me. I'm going to read a text, and we're going to deal with this text. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to. It's John 8:44. Jesus tells us where all lies originate, though. He says this, you are the father of the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, the origin of all of bearing false witness is the devil himself. Jesus said all lies originate with him. No way around it. Now, notice with me, first of all, don't you notice the character of the devil? The Bible here speaks here, and Jesus spoke of the devil as a murderer from the beginning. The word murderer literally means a manslayer. His first and foremost objective is to dishonor God. His next objective is to destroy man. Satan, if he can dishonor God and destroy man, he in his mind has been successful. He seeks to destroy and to ruin our lives. Jesus said he does not stand in the truth. Those words take us all the way back to the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And that's where all that started with. He says because there's no truth in him. He was evil to the core, and his nature is evil, and it's constantly being manifested by us. He doesn't have any truth in him. He speaks a lie. He's a liar, and he's the father of all lies. Jesus said he speaks from his own resources. That's all he does. He tells one lie after another lie after another lie. You've met some folks. I described a boy I went to high school with and grew up with for a long time. He'd rather climb a tree and tell lies down on the ground and tell the truth. I never met anything like it. He lies when he tells people to wait for a later time to be saved. He lies when he tells folks they'll be happy in a life of sin. He lies when he tells people they have plenty of time before they get their lives right with the Lord. He's just a liar. Everything he does in his birth out of lies, and that's the originator of the lies. What is sad to me is lots of folks believe that there's plenty of time to get saved. Lots of folks believe that there's plenty of they can live any way they want to be happy. Lots of folks believe that they still have plenty of time before Jesus comes again. I personally don't. The character of the devil, but I see secondly, the children of the devil. Now, Jesus said to the Pharisees in that narrative, you are the are of your father, the devil. I want you to hear me this morning. There's only two choices when it comes to being a child of God. You're either a child of the devil or you're a child of God. There is nothing in between. You're either the Lord's or you're the devil's. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. There's no in between. There's not purgatory in the middle there that you somehow work out. That's the only two choices, right? Saved or lost. Born again, not born again. That's just the way it is. Now, Jesus said this to the Pharisees, and the desires of your father you want to do. Now, children have a tendency to be like their parents. The children of the devil, they act like their father. Occasionally, my wife will say something like this to my children. You're acting just like your daddy. You know, when she says that, that's not a term of endearment. Are you following what I'm saying? When Jesus told the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil, make no mistake, that was no term of endearment when Jesus was talking to them. He was telling them that you're acting like lost people. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you read that, you can't help to come to the conclusion that folks who are constantly lying, who have a lie, or tell one lie after another lie after another lie, then those folks have never been saved. If they are, they're certainly not acting like it. And a child of God does not slander, does not bear false witness, nor lie about people. That kind of behavior is characteristics of those folks who have never been saved. Well, I heard about this church service. And the devil walked into the middle of the service, Dwayne. It was really an interesting service. I mean, things were good. And the devil began to scare everybody. And lots of folks began to run out except one old boy. He just stood there. He said, aren't you afraid of me? He said, no, sir. I've been married to your sister for the last 20 years. Why I'd be afraid of you? Be thankful I didn't say that was you. But anyway. Oh, ladies and gentlemen. But when we bear false witness, we deliberately tell lies to them to hurt them. And we reveal that we're a member of the devil's family. The origin of bearing false witness. But I see secondly, though, the operation of bearing false witness. Now, why do people lie about others? Why do people do that? I think you have to answer the question why and how, and I want to do both of those. First of all, notice with me, the motive of bearing false witness. Now, this commandment is speaking to someone that wants to hurt the reputation or cast doubts on the character of another individual. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines lying as this. Number one, to make an untrue statement with the intent to deceive. Or number two, to create a false or misleading impression when a person bears false witness. They are motivated by the desire to cast doubts on a person's character and injure the reputation. And that's how Webster describes it. Now, the father of all lies, Satan, gives us a good example of why people lie about other people. Now listen, let's go back to the Genesis account again. That's where it's all started. In Genesis, we read of Satan appearing to Eve and he said, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That's not exactly what God said. What he did say is found in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Bible says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you shall eat of it, you shall surely die. It was not every tree, but it was rather one tree that they could not eat of. Now, Satan just twisted what God said. He made misleading statements about God. Then he went so far to accuse God of being a liar. Clearly God said, for in that day you shall eat of it, you shall die. Satan said to Eve, you're not going to die. He was telling her, God lied to you. Now ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't lie. Sometimes we lie, sometimes we bend the truth, but God does not lie. What was he trying to do? He was trying to make God look bad to Eve. Making untrue statements for the purpose of making God look bad in the eyes of Eve. Ladies and gentlemen, isn't that what folks do when they tell lies? That's the purpose and the motive of his lying. On another occasion, we see not only Satan trying to make God look bad to man, but he was also trying to make man look bad to God. And Job chapter 1:9, there's a question that Satan asked God. He says, does Job fear God for nothing? God, the reason Job's serving you is because what all you done for him. Job doesn't love you, God. Job doesn't care about you, God. He's lying on man to God. He's trying to make him look bad in order to raise suspicion and whether God, whether his motives was sincere or not. God, Satan lied to man about God and lied to God about man. Satan is a liar. Whenever someone lies about another person, the motive is always to hurt the name and the reputation of that person, as well as cast doubts on that person's character. Again, when they do that, they're acting like the devil himself. The motive of bearing false witness, but I see secondly, though, the method of bearing false witness. Now, the Bible has many descriptions of lying and bearing false witness. Let me just point out a few to you while we're here this morning. First of all, slander. In Psalm 101, verse 5, the psalmist speaks of who secretly slanders his neighbor. The word secretly literally means a cover. The word would be descriptive of someone placing a cover over something to conceal it. The word speaks of slandering against something when secretly, or we would say they said it behind their back. Slander literally means to wag the tongue. They're talking about them behind their back, telling false truth behind their back. And I've met a few tongue waggers in my life. I read about the great Methodist preacher. His name's Sam Jones. Now, Sam Jones, you have to understand, if you read his old sermons, they're fascinating. You couldn't preach many of them because I'm telling you, Sam Jones didn't cut any corners, was not very couth at all, and he didn't care who he made mad or who he offended. One night in one of his meetings, this lady came up to him and said, I need to confess my sin of gossip. She wanted to lay her tongue on the altar. Sam Jones responded to her, there's the mourner's bench, lady. It's 12 foot long. Let's see if it even fit. Some people can be described as like an old pair of shoes, all worn out except their tongue. The eye behind the word slander, someone sandwich or something, they're not guilty. It's telling a lie behind their back, wagging their tongue. And yet the word talebearer. Proverbs 11 verse 13 says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he is his faithful spirit conceals a matter. Talebearer is someone who travels around spreading gossip and rumors and telling lies. R.G. Latourneau, who was the owner of a large earth moving equipment, once told the story, we used to have a scraper known as the Model G. Someone asked one of our salesmen what G stood for, and the salesman said G stands for gossip, because like gossip, this machine moves a lot of dirt and it moves it real fast. I don't know why, but a lie will travel faster than the truth. Someone goes around spreading dirt around other people. And the Apostle Paul wrote about this in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, when he said, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but also about gossip and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Then he speaks of a whisperer. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Fraud. This person is guilty of fraud and cheats another person. Goes behind their back and talks about them. Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, said this, for I fear lest when I come, I should find you such as I wish, and that I may be found by you such as you do not wish. Let there be contentions and jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, and torments. The Bible not only speaks, though, of those folks who tell lies, but those folks who will listen to that nonsense. I remember a few years ago, this lady came up to me and said, I was told by someone that you haven't preached out of the Bible a single day since you've been in this town. I responded, why don't you come see for yourself? And that stopped all that. Proverbs 26:20 says this, Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. A simple translation of that verse is, if you'll quit listening to gossip, the talebearer will have no one to talk to. When folks begin to tell you lies about something, you don't have to listen to that nonsense. You say, no, stop. I've heard folks say, I get tired of so-and-so calling me and talking about them, telling stuff I know is just not true. If you are really tired of it, you tell them to stop talking about it and hang up on them. I remember a few years ago, I met this guy in Conway. He was my pastor. And he said, these folks come by his business and they were just ripping him to shreds. He said, I seen his truck down at the church. Let's go down and talk to him right now. He said, you know, it stopped all that nonsense. They didn't want to talk about him no more. They was going to have to confront him about what they just said. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, if you'll rebuke them, hang up on them, and put a lid on the trash can, they won't do that anymore. And God's people should say amen right there. D.L. Moody, in one of his books, told about a lady named Hannah Moore. She had a method was sure cure for gossip. When someone came to her and told her about something, her invariable reply was, well, come, let's go ask and see if it'll be true. I stop it. I ran across what was called country advice in working towards this sermon. It says, don't wrestle with pigs. You'll get all muddy and the pigs will love it. That's true, isn't it? I found this to be true, not just a bumblebee, but a bee in general is faster than any kind of lawnmower or tractor. Amen? Teachers, moms, and hoot owls sleep with one eye open. That's true, isn't it? Don't corner something that's meaner than you. Every path has some puddles and keeps skunks and gossipers at a distance. That's not a bad advice for all of us. It doesn't compliment you at all, ladies and gentlemen, folks will feel free to share the gossip with you. Let me share this to you, by the way. If they'll gossip to you about someone else and tell lies about someone else to you, they'll lie about you as well. One ancient writer said that both the talebearer and those who listen to gossip ought to be hanged. The talebearer by the tongue and the listener by the ears. I like it. Amen? It would do us well to remember the old saying, there's so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it ill behooves the best of us to talk bad about the worst of us, the rest of us. Well, the origin of bearing false witness and the operation of bearing false witness, but I say thirdly, and I'm going to close. Y'all hadn't really enjoyed this sermon too good. I didn't think you would. If you hadn't enjoyed this, then you wait till tonight. The outcome of bearing false witness. Sometimes we refer to stuff as a little white lie, but the truth is all lying is black as the ace of spades. But the Bible does not tolerate any kind, especially those folks who are bearing false witness. Listen to what Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus about. He says, therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. I want you to consider two thoughts with me as to why we ought not to tell lies about folks. First of all, it's hurtful to others. Clovis Chappell, in his book on the 10 Rules for Living, writes, there is no measuring the pain, the heartache, and the tears that the bearing of false witness has caused. Such a man robs his victory of treasures that are more precious than life. The psalmist wrote this, your tongue devises destruction like a razor, sharp razor, working deceitfully. The Bible says in Psalm 55, verse 21, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes lying will hurt other people. I know that me personally, I take great care not to be alone in cars and alone by myself with ladies, but just because a lie would hurt me as bad as the truth. And folks will tell lies. James said this, but no man can tame the tongue. It's unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. It's destructive when not used well. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. How many good names, good reputations, good people have been discredited and called into doubt because and even destroyed by the lies of people sometimes? not just preachers, holy men of God who were doing the right thing at times, laity and clergy alike who were just doing the right stuff because of a lie. Someone has written, a careless word may kindle strife, a cruel word may wreck a life, a bitter word may hate and steal, a brutal word may smite and kill. G. Campbell Morgan, a preacher from a different generation, said this: while the methods of persecution by the imprisonment and torture have passed, martyrs are still being made by the process of false witness born. Many a good name and reputation have died on the gallows of a false witness. As far as I'm concerned, it takes a person that's wicked, as black, and as evil in heart to the core as it can get, if you will tell an out-and-out lie about another person with the intent on trying to hurt their reputation and defame their character. There was a story of Pierre Van Payson tells in his book, The Days of Our Years. There was a hunchback by the name of Euglin who fell sick. He never knew his father, and his mother was a drunken outcast. His sister was named Slogan. Because she loved Euglin so much, and because she was unable to get the money to buy his medicine, she sold her body on the streets. People talked so harshly about her that Euglin drowned himself, and Slogan shot herself, and they both died. At the funeral, the little village church was crowded. The minister began his sermon this way: Christians, the word was like a whiplash. Christians, when the Lord of life and death shall ask me on the day of judgment, where are thy sheep? I shall not answer him. When the Lord asks me the second time, where are thy sheep? I will not answer him. When the Lord shall ask me a third time, where are thy sheep? He said, I shall hang my head in shame, and I will answer him, they were not sheep, Lord. They were a pack of wolves. God help that not be said of us. When you start fabricating lies and with the intent and destroying another person and then spreading that lie is nothing more than being an evil, wicked person. That's what this text is all about. I didn't think you was going to like it. I didn't think so. I'd actually prayed the crowd be down a little bit today. It's hurtful to others, but I'll give you a second thing. It's hated by God. Proverbs 6 tells us 6 things that the Lord hates. Then a 7th is added that's called in that abomination to God. 2 of the 6 things that the Bible calls hates are a lying tongue and false witness that speaks lies. The abomination is one that sows discord among the brethren. Or abomination that speaks of that which is disgusting and abhorred by God. The idea is literally that a person who would bear false witness against another is disgusting in the eyes of God. Literally, they make God sick. In fact, God hates a liar so much that he promises those who bear false witness will be not ignored or condoned. The psalmist wrote again, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. God said he's not going to get by with his sin for that. I want you to listen to what the Bible says in Revelation 21:8. I'm about ready to close. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now listen to me. God classifies lying, liars, in the same qualification as those folks who are murderers, sexually immoral, and the like. And that's a terrible class to be identified with. Now, the Bible is not saying there in that narrative that if you ever tell a lie, you're going to hell. What it is saying that if you're a constant liar and you're constantly telling lies, then that is revealing what you really are, someone who does not know the Lord and needs the grace of God in their life. They've never been saved, and they're not going to spend eternity in heaven, a person who's a constant practicing liar. No doubt when you were a kid, we used to say, liar, liar, pants on fire. God says a little bit differently. Liar, liar, your pants will be on fire. Let me close with the positive side of that thing. The cool thing is lying, like all other sins, can be forgiven by the grace of God. This morning, the greatest news that's ever been told is that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived on this earth for 33 and a half years without sin. Never one time told a lie. His standard of holiness is so great that you and I could never meet that standard. So therefore, he came to live for us and to die in our place. He didn't stay dead, though. He rose from the grave on the third day. 40 days later, sent him back to the right hand of the Father, and he is coming again. I'm telling you this morning, he stands this morning to be your Savior and will absolutely, radically, dramatically change your life if you allow him to. Won't you come this morning and ask him to change your life? You see, when you're a liar, it's hurtful to others, but it's also hated by God. This morning, some of you, maybe you have other issues in your life. Maybe you need to pray about. I'll be at the front to receive you and to help you and to pray with you. Now you respond as the Lord has spoken to your heart. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, for the best of my ability, I preach what you laid on my heart. Now, God, I pray that you'll work, you'll move, and you'll help us do those things in our lives that will be pleasing in your sight. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Bless this time we have together now. For us in Jesus' name we pray. Is every head still bowed and every eye still closed? And Karen's going to play and Cindy's going to sing. You come and respond to the Lord. Time.